bringing an offering to God every time we come to church, every time we sing, every time we put something in the offering plate, every time we study God's Word. We should be offering our lives to God as living sacrifices. And so I want to speak to you this evening on the blessing of God. And I'll be honest with you, I've been thinking a lot about that this week, and it's hard to imagine what life would be without the blessing of God. I think far too often we take for granted God's blessing. But you understand, you wouldn't be saved without the blessing of God. You wouldn't have a God awareness without the blessing of God. Probably wouldn't be alive without the blessing of God. The psalmist draws attention to God in a way that causes us to ponder His blessing. And as we do ponder that blessing, my prayer is that each of us will be reminded to give thanks to God for His blessing. We're in the 67th Psalm. I'd ask you to stand to honor the public reading of God's precious Word as we read the entirety of the 67th Psalm. It's only 7 verses. Psalm 67. New King James reads like this: God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. Think about that. That Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples, plural, referring to other nations, let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us to all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Please be seated, and as you do, bow me in prayer. Father, thank You for Your blessing. Thank You that it's unimaginable to ponder life without Your blessing. And I pray that You'd help us to be more and more mindful of Your blessing and more appreciative of Your blessing in our lives. Father, preach to me now as we look at this 67th Psalm. And I pray that it might be a catalyst to cause us all to ponder, to meditate, to understand Your goodness as displayed in our lives continually. And Lord, through hearts of gratitude, might that compel us to lives of submission and obedience, that we might be a blessing to You as surely as You have richly blessed us. Father, have Your way in all that's said and done. And I pray that You'd bind the forces of darkness and evil that would disrupt or hinder in any way, that we might have perfect liberty. Receive Your word and let it work its perfect work, changing us into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for all that You do, we'll give You praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several things to draw your attention to. And the first is a blessing requested there in verse 1. He says, God be merciful to us and bless us. You ever thought about how often we ask God to bless us? Isn't it true that most of our prayer life is consumed with perhaps going down the prayer list that we get in our bulletin and having added our own particular desires or needs on the list, just reciting those to God? I wonder just how much of a blessing it is to God. I think oftentimes, and I'm praying, and I'm going through my list of things, God, I need You to do this, I need You to fix that, I need You to be with this person, that person. And I feel like I am back in my childhood, back in the days when Sears and Roebuck Company used to send out their wish book, I suppose, in about August or September. And it was a toy catalog and had everything you could imagine for Christmas. And so you had plenty of time to mark the catalog and give that to your parents so they would know what you wanted for Christmas. And I remember those days, Brian, and I would go through the first time and I'd try to be very modest in my request, and I would circle two or three things. And then I would go back the next day or two and I'd circle two or three more. And before Thanksgiving got there, everything in the book was circled. And then you look at the book and then you put it out where your parents are going to be. You might set it at their breakfast table where they're going to be having breakfast, or you might set it beside their bed on the nightstand. Just, you want them to look through, and just you also have turned over some pages. You got some of the ears of the pages torn down so they can know exactly where to go to find out, because you want them to do all this stuff for you. Isn't that exactly how we are with God in terms of our prayer life? You know, Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. In this manner, pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you understand that God's will is being done perfectly in heaven. There's no more rebellion in heaven. So everything God desires to happen in heaven is happening right now in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It starts out with adoration and then moves quickly into submission and then supplication, making his request, and then praise to God. There's a motive for that method. There's a reason God tells us to pray that way. And that is, if we start our prayer with adoration to God for all his goodness and all his blessing and all his grace to us, we will be reminded that we are already blessed. We don't have to keep asking God to bless us. He has already blessed us bountifully. And think about the blessings we enjoy. I mentioned this morning when I came here, and I felt like the Spirit of God just quickened my spirit, that I was in too big a hurry. I need to stop and just pay attention and enjoy and give thanks to God for the majesty of his creation. But the very fact that we are alive is a blessing from God. The very fact that we are upright and mobile is a blessing from God. The very fact that we are healthy is a blessing from God. You say, preacher, I'm not very healthy. I'm not feeling very well, and I've got some serious ailments. Well, you understand that the fact that we have access to good health care is a blessing from God. The fact that we are clothed is a blessing from God. The fact that we have clothes in our closet at home, more clothes to wear, is a blessing from God. The fact that we have food in our stomachs is a blessing from God. The fact that we have food in refrigerators and freezers and pantries is a blessing of God. The fact that we have transportation to be here this evening is a blessing from God. And that we have money in our pockets or in our bank accounts to put more gasoline or diesel in our cars is a blessing from God. The fact that we have folks in our lives that love us is a blessing from God. The fact that we are loved of God is a blessing that we cannot even imagine. The fact that God knows we exist is a blessing. The fact that we can have relationship with God is a blessing. The fact that we can see God in his creation is a blessing. The fact that we can see God working through our circumstance is a blessing. The list just goes on and on and on and on. The fact that we have a bright and blessed future is a blessing. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I think our nation is in store for some rough days, and I do too. But our future is bright and blessed. In Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, our future is bright and blessed. And we ought to give thanks that we as Christians have it made. 90% of the population of the world would give anything to live the way we get to live right here at Grace Baptist Church in Evans, Georgia. We are richly blessed. The fact that we are aware of God is a blessing. Your dog's not aware of God. Your cat's not aware of God. Your parakeet's not aware of God. Your pet snake's not aware of God. But we're aware of God and can enjoy sweet communion with him. But those things are possible because of God's blessing, God's mercy, God's grace. But let me ask the question. When was the last time that you went into your prayer closet? You removed the clutter. You turned off your phone. You turned off the TV. You turned off the radio and just said, God, I just want to spend some time with you and thank you and praise you for your goodness and grace. I'm reminded of that old song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. I would tell you, as we start just to list blessings in our lives, we'll be overwhelmed by the goodness of God. I mean, can you just be honest for a few minutes while we're in church and say, we don't deserve any of this? Oh, I realize we want more. We're never satisfied. We want more and more and more. And I instruct you as your pastor, I want all of God's blessing I can possibly get. I believe that's one area that we can be selfish. I want more of God in my life. I want more of God in your life. But the truth of the matter is, we are so richly blessed now, we couldn't ever thank God enough. If we dedicated our lives from this point forward and did nothing but thank God and praise God, we wouldn't be able to touch the surface of what we owe to him. But it's entirely appropriate for God's people to ask for God's blessing. In James chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and steal, cannot obtain, you find in war, you have not because you ask not." I'm not going to be guilty of not asking God for His blessing. I desire God's blessing. I desire God's presence. I desire that for you. I desire that for this church. I desire that every time we meet that the presence of God would be here. You say, "Preacher, how can it not be? If He lives within all of us and we come together, His presence is certainly here." And that's true. But there are times His presence is far more intense than others. And those are the times that I crave and I desire and I long for and I pray for. And I pray that you do as well. But we see here the psalmist desires God. So he's asking a blessing requested there. But that is also a boastful response. I would tell you that few of us enjoy being around boastful people. I mentioned that this morning. There's some folks that think they're just all that. They think they're the cat's meow. And all the rest ought to just be grateful to be in their company and presence. And most of us avoid them. Can I go ahead and help you feel better about that? With good reason, because James 4:16 says, "But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." Well, not desire to be around the presence of evil. Doesn't mean we can ignore and mistreat people or be mean to people, but we certainly ought not desire to be in the presence of evil. And yet, God's motivation for blessing us is twofold. Ever thought about that? First and foremost, God blesses His people as an expression of His love. And you understand that. If you're married, you desire to bless your husband or wife. If not, let me just go ahead on a limb. If you're real sensitive, don't get your feelings hurt. But you ought to just get right with God, and then you will enjoy blessing your husband or wife. If you have children, you enjoy blessing your children. If you have grandchildren, Lord only knows. I mean, you feel like that's what you live for. You're supposed to bless your grandchildren, right? Well, hey, we are the children of God. And so He blesses us as an expression of His love for us. But He also blesses us because He longs to be glorified. He longs to be exalted. And His blessing in our life should compel us to sing His praises and rejoice in His goodness and grace, such that others would have a higher view of Almighty God. But He's only going to be glorified if we proactively declare His blessing and praise Him. Verse 2, "That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations." So when we ask God for His blessing, we ought to ask with this intent: I want my testimony to be more attractive to others. I want to be able to boldly declare what You've done in my life, not yesterday, last week, last month, last year, but today, so that the community that I encounter today will know for certain that You are God and You desire a relationship with them as surely as You do with me. Doing so will be contagious, I'll guarantee you. You get around folks that are praising God, you'll start praising God as well. Verse 3, "Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth." Selah, think about that. I read that verse and I think about all the injustices of our world today. And you might be, at present time, being treated unfairly. You might be in a legal matter and a judge has decided against you even though you're innocent. You might be in a situation at work and you're being passed over and you've done nothing that would cause that to happen. Maybe it's in a relationship, a friendship, and you all of a sudden have been mistreated or dropped or ignored or hurt in some way. And you just cry out to God, "It's not fair. It's not fair, God." But guess what? While we may at this point not be entitled to justice as Christians in this world system. And I would tell you that the further time goes by, the less and less Christians are going to be honored, and the more and more Christians are going to be dishonored. A day is coming that we'll be honored highly. And that's when our God rules this world. I believe the psalmist here is looking forward to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And I want you to know that Christ isn't going to rule the world alone. Listen to this verse in Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That's us. Over such a second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. That's what Jude is describing here in this little letter in verse 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all the earth. Didn't say he's coming with 10,000s of his angels. Come with 10,000s of his saints. Like it or not, that's you and me. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you're a saint of God. You say, well, I don't feel comfortable. I'm just not living such that I really am entitled to be called a saint. It's not about what you're doing or how you're living. It's about what Jesus Christ has done in your life. If you've been adopted in the family of God, you're a saint of God. So Jesus is coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on the earth. And during that period of time, Christ will reign this earth with a rod of iron, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and following, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth. That's those in hell. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have you ever thought about that? Even folks in hell today are going to bow the knee to Jesus. That's an encouraging truth, Brian. That those mean, wicked, hateful, horrible people that are in hell today and will be forever and ever, they aren't going to escape. Someday, every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. Won't matter. Their fate is sealed because they've rejected him as their Savior. But he's going to prove that he is the sovereign God of all creation, and they will bow before him. That's exciting to me, especially in a day and age where Christianity is so misunderstood and dishonored. And I would tell you, it's going to get worse before it gets better, but it is going to get better one day, because a day of justice is coming. You say, preacher, I don't think I want justice. I want mercy. I want mercy. Well, so do I. I want mercy. But having experienced God's mercy and grace, and having allowed the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash me and make me whiter than snow, justice becomes a pretty desirable thing. I'm a saint of God, and I'm entitled to sonship. I'm entitled to be considered a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and that's how we'll be treated forever and ever and ever under the rule of our great God. But please hear me when I say, all those things aside, we have nothing to boast about. Because I'm not going to rule and reign with Christ because I'm a good preacher. I'm not going to rule and reign with Christ because I'm a Baptist. I'm not going to rule and reign with Christ because I'm American. I'm not going to rule and reign with Christ because I've got any money in the bank. I'm going to rule and reign with Christ because my God is merciful. My God is gracious. My God has blessed me bountifully. And he's blessed every believer. We all are partakers of his blessing. And so we ought to boast in him continually, because that's what it'll take to cause others to recognize this isn't just some old-fashioned dead tradition we're following because our parents did, and our grandparents did, and our great-grandparents did, and the pilgrims did. But we have a relationship that is ongoing with the living God who is working in our lives continually, and that's reason enough to boast in him in every minute of every hour of every day. So we see a blessing requested and a boastful response, but notice also a bountiful reward. During the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, all will be peace and joy and love. While there still be remnants of the curse on earth, and I say that because there still be weeds, and there'll still be thorns, and there'll still be thistles, Satan's power will have been removed. Can you imagine a period of time, Jerry, for 1,000 years that there's no temptation to evil? There's no one who's trying to entice us off the straight and narrow path. The devil and his demons have been bound for 1,000 years. Well, I think that in itself will eliminate wars. That in itself will eliminate most of poverty. And it will certainly eliminate strife, because we aren't at that point motivated to heap unto ourselves praise. We want to praise the God who made it all possible. It'll be a glorious time to exist on the earth. A time of unequaled prosperity. Verse 6, then the earth shall yield her increase. We were talking about before the service, farmers in our day and age and the struggles they have with trying to use the herbicides and whatnot to kill weeds, and but yeah, also fertilize the plants, and how difficult it is to produce. And small farmers are really just not able to compete anymore. It's hard to make a living now unless you just have one of these huge farms. And if you do, you probably have to have the backing of some major corporation. But God's original intent for the earth was that things would just grow bountifully. And such would be the case during the 1,000-year reign. There's going to be a huge season of prosperity for the earth. And that is His reward, His blessing for our faith and our faithfulness. That's a marvelous blessing from God. But can we be honest and just admit that God's reward to us is pretty good right now? I mean, think about all that we enjoy, that many people in the world would give everything to participate in. Think about just the freedoms we enjoy to assemble here with fellow believers, a time of fellowship, time to sing God's praise, time to study God's word on Sunday night. You know, folks around the world, believers in China, in India, in Russia, they don't enjoy that privilege. They are state monitored. Oh, there are churches there, but somebody's listening to every word. Sermons are pre-approved. The leadership is chosen by the state. They don't have freedom. They can't decide on local missions and ministries and just go be involved to make a difference for Christ. They can't just go and openly share their faith in the marketplace. And guess what? Our politicians today want this to become just like that. If you don't see it happening, you need to wake up. They're stealing away our religious liberty. But today we enjoy it. We're richly blessed. We ought to give thanks for that. It's the result of God's blessing in our lives. But the truth is, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves at how infrequently we declare God's blessing to others. I mean, think about it. Apart from your time here at Grace Baptist Church on this campus, how long has it been since you at home, at school, at work, or at play just said to someone, you know, I just want to tell you how good God's been to me today. I just want to share with you, my heart is just overflowing. I just need to get it off my chest. I want you to know that my God is so awesome. Now, I don't know if you know Him or not, but you ought to, because I'm telling you, He makes life worth living. You say, oh, preacher, they'll think I'm some kind of fanatic. I got news for you. If they think you're a Christian, they already think that. If they know you go to Grace Baptist Church, they're convinced of it, because they know your pastor is just one of those holy roller fanatics. But what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? We honor these people who are just frothing at the mouth about the Georgia Bulldogs and the Clemson Tigers. We think that's fine. Oh, we think it's respectable that we'll go to these middle school and high school ball games and cheer and rant and rave and call out the referees and umpires as though they were somehow half-breeds. We're excited about it, but we come to church and we say, well, God, I'm here. Bless me if you can. And when I leave, I forget all about it till the next time I hear the angels sing when I open my car doors and come inside and say, I'm black, God, bless me if you can. I mean, isn't there an inconsistency in our lives? Don't want to have that same joy, enthusiasm, excitement that we're proclaiming the goodness of God to others? That's what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine before men. What light? The light of God's love. Love for who? Love for God. And love for his people. And love for my neighbor. And love for me. We don't want to think about having to love our enemies, for heaven's sakes. Who wants to love their enemy? I don't want to hate mine. Can't be right with God and do that. And guess what? It's that love of God that will point people to Christ, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He's talking about our daily lives, not our church experience, our daily lives. And he says in Romans 15, 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It references the church, and he's telling us our mission is to glorify God. How are we doing, church? How are we doing? I really believe what we do inside these four walls compares pretty well to most churches in town. But this is having church. How about being church? Can what we say and do out there be held up to the scrutiny of God's word and say, yes, I'm praising God, I'm glorifying God, I'm magnifying God in the sight of other people because I'm continually rejoicing in his goodness and grace and singing his praises for all to hear? Because if that's not our testimony, we've missed the boat somewhere. We have forgotten that God's blessing to us is twofold, because he loves us and because he desires to be glorified in and through us. Well, guess what? The angels can't do that. I think about that a lot. Lucifer and a third of the angels. I don't know how many we're talking about. We're talking about 100,000, millions, billions, trillions. I don't know how many angels there are, but a lot. They got one chance. One chance. They're rebelled against God. Their fate is sealed. Jesus didn't die for the angels. And they aren't going to heaven. He made a place of suffering for them called hell. I've done lots worse. And very likely so have you. And guess what? I'm going to heaven. Why? Because God so loved, he gave his only begotten Son, that all the humans that'll believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Not angels, humans. What an awesome blessing. What an incredible truth. What a powerful motivation. If I never enjoy another blessing from God, to sing his praises continually. He cared enough about me to save me in spite of my sin when every single one of them deserved hell. But I'm not going because of the love and the blessing of God. Are we grateful? And before we say yes, is that gratitude affecting our daily behavior? Because if not, something's wrong. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the opportunity we have to bless you. And your word instructs us so clearly that we are to bless the Lord at all times. His praise should continually be in our mouth. Lord God, forgive us where that's not the case. Forgive us where we compartmentalize to the place that our relationship with you is a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night activity. Help us, Father, to rejoice in your goodness and grace and sing your praises every minute of every hour of every day, not to the point of being obnoxious, but so that those we encounter might know for certain that our life is different. And that difference is the presence and power of God. Father, I pray for one tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that something has been said or done, that they would recognize their need for that greatest of all blessing and receive it by a simple childlike faith. And I pray they'd come during this decision time and by a simple childlike faith pass from death into life and be forgiven of their sins and adopted into the family of God. But Lord, the vast majority of folks here tonight are saved as this preacher, and yet a great many of us are guilty. While we have an insatiable appetite, we rarely give you praise and thanks. We rarely come to you just to express our joy and our gratitude.
and almost never express it to others. Lord, forgive us and help us to be a people of praise, that that praise might be contagious and others might join with us and glorify you in all that we say and do. Father, have your way in this decision time, and for all that you do, we'll give you all praise and thanks. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please.